Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. This is Craig with, well, actually just with Craig. It's a tough week to get everybody together, so you only get me today, the Red Storm Chaser. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody, and thanks for listening as we get ready for a big tilt here and we get ready for full Big East play. Today, we're going to look back at a couple of the first two Big East games with DePaul and Providence. Also, look at a dominating win against Delaware and also look ahead to Creighton tonight and then look ahead to Saturday with DePaul. So just to get started, we're going to talk at the starting five like we normally do. The starting five, toughest places to play for St. John's in the Big East. Number one, I'm going to go with Creighton. We've only won one time against them in Omaha since they joined the Big East. So it'll be a big demon to exercise if we can get this win this week. Second toughest place to play for us is going to be Providence, which we actually exercised this demon earlier this month. So that's good. I'm going to go Seton Hall as well. Seton Hall is a game that no matter what, whether they're good and we're bad, or we're good and they're bad, we always struggle at the Prudential Center. So that's going to be my number three. Number four is going to be Hinkle Fieldhouse. Butler, again, no matter whether good or bad, we always tend to struggle there. And it's always a dogfight. No pun intended. For last place, I'm not going to give UConn the satisfaction of being in the starting five here. I'm going to go with Georgetown. Not that recently, when they've been really, really bad, it hasn't been a problem. But for years, even when they weren't great, we would struggle playing in DC. So that's going to be my starting five to get us started for this crucial week for St. John's basketball. So now let's quick look back at a couple performances over the last couple of weeks. Actually, it's been a while since we get ready for the full Big East schedule to begin here on New Year's Eve. So our first game to look back at is almost two full weeks ago against the DePaul Blue Demons. We had a dominating performance. We won the game 89-61, led by 11 at the half, and then won the second half again by 17 to go on for a 26-point victory. All around, we just had a great game. 55% from the field, 30% from the three-point line, 57% for free throw, which we know has been a struggle for us here and there. The defense was really great. We held them to 35% from the field, 32% from three. We were plus 12 on the rebound margin. RJ Lewis led the way with 19 points off the bench. He had five rebounds. Three other Johnnies were in double digits. Kadari Richmond had 18. Simeon Wiltshire had 16. And Zuby also had 12. DePaul only had two players in double digits. Layden Blocker had 17 and Connor Enright had 12. And DePaul, after a promising start, is now 0-2 in the Big East. I mean, it was a great way to start off Big East play. DePaul had looked good, and it looked like it was going to be an important game. It was at home. Look, a game we have to win. But we did. We took care of business. We really looked dominant across the board. And even though Coach Pitino thought it was going to be a close fight, I think that might have been just playing up to make sure that we were ready and focused to go, which we were. So there's two guys we really need to talk about in this DePaul matchup. Personally, I want to talk about, and since I'm the only one here, that's what you're going to get. Simeon Wiltshire had a great game. He had 16 points. He had four rebounds, three steals. He was 7-9 from the field and 2-3 from three-point land. He has really started to come in his own over the last half a month, I'd say. It was a key performance in a Big East matchup. You know, as the games get tougher, we really get to see all of the inroads that the players have made in development, and we get to see him against higher-level opponents. So Simeon Wiltshire, it was a big step up for him, and it was, you know, really great to see. The other one was Davon Smith, you know, who really has taken off after suspension. He didn't get double digits, but he did have 9 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals. He was just literally all over the court. And I said it before, I mean, he just plays on fast forward. He just is so much faster than everyone on the court and just so athletic. And he just has a nose for the ball. And he's just all over the place. And he is a joy to watch, honestly. So they really made an impact on this game against DePaul, notwithstanding RJ Lewis, who 19 points now just seems, it almost just seems like, yeah, another 19 more performance by RJ Lewis, who has really, is really a difference maker for us. All in all, like I said, a great game against DePaul and a great way to start off Big East play. Following our Big East opener against DePaul, we traveled up north to Providence for a Friday night battle against Providence in a very tough place to play. Providence is no joke. Those fans bring it every night. And an 8 o'clock Friday start didn't do us any favors. And it was a tough game. It really was a tough game. Ultimately, the Johnnies came out on top 72-70 to move to 2-0 in Big East play. It was not a great game. Frankly, we struggled through. And this is a game that for most of my life watching St. John's, whereas games we lost. These, we didn't play great. We did maybe enough just to get back in it, but ultimately got our hearts broken. So this game was very promising in the sense that it really gives me hope that this year is different. We shot 40% from the field, 17% from three-point land, which is abysmal. We lost the rebounding battle by three. We were down 13 at the half. It looked dire. It really, really looked dire. But then the Johnnies had their patented second half surge and really, really took off after halftime and got themselves not only back in the game and fought and clawed their way back. And then ultimately all that work paid off with a 72-70 victory. We won the turnover battle 17-6, which was huge. That really kept us in the game. It gave us a lot of fast break opportunities because the shots were not falling. And it was really a slugfest up and down, which is commonplace at Providence. It's not heard of. Just to go through the end of game scenario, with about 35 seconds left, Davon Smith makes a layup to put us up 70-67. Then Providence goes down. 10, 15 seconds roll off, about with 20 seconds to go. Of course, it looks like heartbreak is going to happen. Bensley Joseph makes a three-pointer from way behind the three-point line in a shot that he really had no right making, but happened against Jayden Johns, he made it to tie the game. And I know lots of us were thinking, oh, no, not again. Here we go. But that's not what happened. We got a shot. Davion Smith took a mid-range jumper, bounced off. Zubi makes a great play, gets the rebound, puts back up the putback, and it goes through the basket as time expires. Just electric, first of all. Zubi, an unbelievable play. Things like that just don't happen to us. That really happens the other way way more often than it has. It is the first buzzer beater since Sir Dominic Pointer beat St. Joe's in the NIT. So that's a very, very long time ago. We just don't get buzzer beaters. And these putbacks, like stuff like that, happens against us regularly, it feels like, but certainly not to us. So it was just a great win, unbelievable. Zubi Ejiofor had a great performance, 19 points, 10 rebounds. RJ Lewis, as I said, again, 16 points, 5 rebounds. He was all over the place. Davon Smith with the big basket at the end, 17 points. Kadari Richmond had 10 points and 5 rebounds, and he tries to impact the game as many ways he can. For Providence, they were 48% from the field, 37% from three-point land. Bensley Joseph had 17 points and 8 rebounds, and Jaden Pierre had 16 points and 5 rebounds. So they played well enough to win, but ultimately, it's who has the most points at the end. And we came through and stole a game, really, from them. We really stole a game from them up in Providence, which doesn't happen often. So we move on to 2-0 in the Big East as we get ready for full Big East play. Two great games, and really just wanted to relive those a little bit. We had our final non-conference game of the year against Delaware last Saturday. We won 97-76. This was a dominating performance from beginning to end. We shot 61% from the field, 67% from three-point land, a complete 180 from the Providence win. We won the rebounding battle by 11. We just dominated. Really, the game was never in question. We had six Johnnies were in double figures. You know, usually we've been the MO of this team has been a great second half, but against Delaware, we had a great first half. We also had a great second half too. But we had a great first half, and that really just set the tone, and we coasted to victory, which got us, you know, to help us build our confidence as we get into that Big East season. A couple of stats to break down for you. Davon Smith had 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists, which is an unbelievable performance. RJ Lewis, another 16-point game. Zubi had 16 points and 7 rebounds. And Vince Iwachukwu had 11 points off the bench. A good performance for him, and he's going to be key as we go down because, you know, Zubi needs to be able to take a break, and we need to have some presence in the middle when he's not around. And if Vince can develop, he has a lot of talent. If he can develop and be impactful for us in the Big East play, it's going to be very important. So it was a great sign to see. Delaware, 49% from the field, 42% from three. That, you know, they played okay. They're just, you know, they didn't have the talent level. It was just not there. John Camden, though, was the main attraction for Delaware. He had 35 points on 9 of 11 shooting from the three-point land, which is unbelievable. He just could not miss. They also had Niels Lane added 14 points for them. Overall, it was really the John Camden show for Delaware, but really it was the St. John's Red Storm show against Delaware on Saturday. And as we head into Big East play, St. John's Red Storm are 11-2 as we close out non-conference play. Really successful, you know, a couple of points. We are a couple of points away from really being undefeated. And it has been a very good non-conference, very encouraging. The potential for this team to have a special season is sky high. And I think it's very exciting for us, and I'm really looking forward to it. So since I'm the only one, I get to pick the Spotlight Player of the Week unadulterated. I can just pick whoever I want. I am going to, it's really hard. A lot of guys had some really great weeks. So Zubi continues to be very consistent and a very important piece for us, really locking down the middle. RJ Lewis continues to just score at will across the board and is the model of consistency. But this week, I'm going to go with Davon Smith, who really has taken his game to another level. He was shooting really well against Delaware, 20 points against Delaware. He impacts the game in a million different ways. He's just fun to watch, too. There's that factor as well. For the last week and a half, what we're going to say, I'm going to give Davon Smith the spotlight player of the week this week. So here's where we stand right now. St. John's is 11-2, 2-0 in the Big East. Nationally, we are ranked 29th in the net ranking, which means that for the rest of the Big East Conference, every game against us will be a quad one opportunity. So that's important for the conference. We are ranked 28th in the AP based on votes. We're third. We had the third most receiving votes of anyone, and we're ranked number 16th in KenPom. So the numbers and metrics are all really good. I think over the next week, if we can go 2-0 in this next week, we will almost certainly be ranked in the AP, which would be great. We'd love to get back to that. That is where we currently stand as we head into Big East play. We open up our Big East play tonight at 4 o'clock, or I shouldn't say tonight, I should say this afternoon at 4 o'clock in Omaha against the Creighton Blue Jays. Creighton is 1-1 in conference. They lost to Georgetown and beat Nova at home. Creighton's a tough place to play. As I said before, we are 1-10 all time since they joined the conference. So last year, in case you didn't remember, we lost in heartbreaking fashion in Omaha. Danish Jenkins had a shot, bounced off the rim. We had a chance for a putback and a game winner, and we got knocked to the jingle. Jordan Dingle got knocked to the ground. No foul call, as tends to happen in Omaha for the Creighton Blue Jays, and we ended up losing that game. So we'd love to get a little payback for that. Taking a look at Creighton, they had a very up and down year. They struggled against Nebraska at home and lost. They didn't play very well in the Players Era tournament in Las Vegas, but then they beat Kansas at home in the Big East Big 12 Challenge. So, you know, yes, they're 8-5, but they've played a very tough schedule. Creighton is always tough. They have a good coach. Greg McDermott is a great coach. They have Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's the reigning Big East Defensive Player of the Year. He's averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks per game, which is just insanity. They also have Steve Ashworth, who averages 17 points a game and is shooting 40% from three-point land. They did have a transfer impact guard named Pop Isaacs, who was lost hip surgery. So he was playing well, and he's unfortunately going to miss the rest of the season for them. But Creighton is not someone to take lightly. Creighton is obviously a team that was thought to be near the top of the conference. They were ranked in the preseason, and they've since dropped out, as you know, as we talked about some of their struggles. But they're a tough team, and it is a good measuring stick for us to see where we're at. You know, the Providence Ruin win was that as well. Winning on the road in the Big East is tough. It is not easy to do. The league is, you know, solid from top to bottom. Yes, there does seem to be a bit of a gap this year in terms of the top teams to the bottom teams, but it's still the Big East, and still playing on the road is still very tough. Bottom half of the conference teams can win at any point. Zach Braziller wrote an article about the game today and said that Big East teams only 5-6 on the road this year, and those five wins have all been by 3 points or less. So it is not something to take lightly, and I don't think we ever take Creighton lately, frankly. Creighton has been very good since they've joined the Big East, and we have obviously always struggled there, as we've touched on. This is an important game for us. Zuby is going to be very important. I think his shooting ability is going to be important because Kalkbrenner doesn't let anything happen in the paint. So that's not something we can do. I think we need to use our athleticism to make them struggle on defense. I mean, we need to hit shots, obviously. We can see the differences when we make three-pointers. We are a completely different team, and a scary, scary good team when we make three-pointers. But we can win if we don't. And, you know, even if we have a tough shooting night, we have other weapons. We come at people in waves. That is the good thing about this team. And we're resilient. We take a punch. As you can see at Providence, if we get down, we don't get down on ourselves. And we really can punch back. It'll be important to see how we come out and play in Creighton. I think it'll really set the tone for the rest of the Big East season. And if we go 3-0, which will be the first time since the 1998-1999 season, which was a pretty good one for us, I think expectations will be through the roof for this team. Not that they aren't already, but they will continue to grow and the hype will continue to grow for this team. So that is 4 p.m. today on Peacock. I know it's tough, but Peacock they did a pretty good job doing the last game. So hopefully it'll be good today. The next game this week is on Saturday at 2 p.m. at Carnesecca Arena and on FS1. We'll be playing the Butler Bulldogs, who are 7-6, and they are currently 0-2 in the Big East. They do play Villanova on New Year's Day. But prior to this, they could be 1-2 or 0-3, depending how it goes. This game was set to be the Lou Carnesecca Day celebration of his 100th birthday. Fortunately, as Lou passed, we did a little of that against Kansas State, but they will move on with the Lou Carnesecca Day celebration on Saturday in Queens. St. John's will be giving away many Lou Carnesecca statues, replicated after the statue out in the main lobby. Butler has lost 5 straight. They've had a tough schedule, to be fair to Butler. Their 7-6 record is a little misleading. They beat Mississippi State early in non-conference play. They have two kind of weird losses against Austin Peay and North Dakota State, but all their other losses are against ranked teams. They have challenged themselves, so it will be interesting to see. They are battle-tested. Players to watch for on Butler: Jamal Telfort, who averages 15.5 points a game, 5 rebounds, and shoots 43% from the three-point line, which is very, very good. Peter Brooks also averages 15 points per game and shoots 38% from three. Those are the two guys that we should key in on and make sure we keep them off the three-point lines for sure. Butler is 70 in the net and 69 in KenPom, so this will be a quad two game for us, but not a game we can lose. Butler is projected to be at the bottom half of the Big East. It's a home game. It is one we need to win. So regardless of what happens later today in Omaha, the Butler win is critical. We need to, at the end of the stretch, we certainly need to be 3-1. We really would love to be 4-0, because Butler one is just absolutely not one we can lose. They're not supposed to be good, and we need to take care of business, especially at home. And we play well in Carnesecca. You know, Carnesecca is a very tough environment, especially for a Big East opponent, because, you know, Big East games, Carnesecca gets packed. Carnesecca is loud, and, you know, the fans are really on top of the players, so it can be a very loud, and it's a very pro St. John's crowd. Not many Butler fans making their way out to Queens, I would imagine, especially at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, maybe at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, a little better than 6:30 on a weekday. It's going to be, you know, 98% St. John's, and it's really the true believers that are mostly there in Queens. So it will be a good environment. It should be a nice day to celebrate Lou Carnesecca at Carnesecca Arena against the Butler Bulldogs, and hopefully we come away with a win. Hopefully we're sitting at 4-0, and hopefully we're looking at getting ranked to start the new year. That would be a huge way to start 2025, and hopefully the beginning of many good things to come in the new year. So that's what we got for today. That's what I got for today, and there's no one else here. I'm speaking into the void. Thanks for listening to my soliloquy. On behalf of the rest of the Red Storm Chasers, wish you all a happy and healthy new year. Hopefully we have a lot of St. John's victories to celebrate together. So for all of us, happy new year. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.